Between the Bush administration and the military, there is an odd dissonance in the discussion of the Al-Qaeda and Taliban detainees in Guantanamo and whether the Geneva Convention applies to them. On the one hand, President Bush said yesterday he hasn't yet decided whether to adhere to the Geneva Convention in this case.
I am looking at the legalities involved with the Geneva Convention. In either case, however I make my decision, these detainees will be well treated.
On the other hand, the Marine commander of Camp X-Ray in Guantanamo, Brigadier General Michael Leonard, was very clear with us last week that his operation is guided by the Geneva Convention. Where he's not in compliance, he said, he's trying to be. For example, by distributing copies of the convention to the detainees in all their 18 native languages.
Now that one we're working on. We're working with the ICRC, which is the International Red Cross, and they're helping us get translated copies of the Geneva Conventions.
And while General Leonard said the U.S. wants to get information from the detainees, this was his answer to the question, would they have the right to decline to answer?
As I understand it, they would.
They would have the same rights in that sense as a prisoner of war to say, I've told you who I am, where I'm from, and that's it.
Yeah.
The Marine General says he is guided by them. The President says he'll adhere to their standards in any case. But the man who's actually running the base sounds a lot more enthusiastic about the Geneva Convention than the President or the Secretary of Defense does. NPR's Tom Gelton was in Guantanamo with the Secretary of Defense over the weekend. And Tom, there seems to be something more than a semantic difference here. What's going on?
Robert, there is a difference. I've spoken to a number of senior military officers about this, and virtually the unanimous view is that the U.S. government should say unequivocally that the Geneva Convention does apply in this case. And as you know, the Bush administration's initial judgment was that the Geneva rules do not apply because this war is a special case. But that is not the prevailing view in the U.S. military for a couple of reasons. One, there's a strong sense that the Geneva rules have protected American soldiers and will protect them if they are ever taken prisoners. So military officers don't like the precedent that's established when the U.S. government says, well, in this particular war, the Geneva rules don't apply. The second thing is that the U.S. military likes established procedures. Military officers like to know what they should do in particular situations. They have a 30-page handbook for how to deal with people they capture on the battlefield. And the established procedures here are drawn, they're based on the Geneva Convention. So if you say the Geneva rules don't apply, what rules should the military apply when they're handling these prisoners? So for those reasons, at least, there is clearly a different attitude here.
So that's a common view among senior uniformed officers. What I don't understand is since the Geneva Convention defines the treatment not just of POWs, but also of illegal combatants, what's the problem for President Bush or Secretary Rumsfeld just applying the convention but saying these are not POWs?
Well, that could very well be what they do in the end, because you're right. There is a separate distinction between the POWs and the illegal combatants. There are just a couple of reasons why the administration may not want to go that route. One is that the Geneva Convention requires you essentially to justify why someone is not a POW. If there's any doubt, you're supposed to set up a tribunal to screen the captives. And while there may be no doubt that an Al-Qaeda terrorist is not a POW, it could be a closer call, for example, in the case of the Taliban Army Chief of Staff, who's rumored to be among those detainees. So the administration may just not want to go through that exercise. The other thing is that even under the Geneva rules, the illegal combatants do have some minimum rights. You have to inform them why they're being held. If you're going to charge them, you have to provide them with a means of defense, and you have to presume they're innocent until they're proven guilty. For that matter, you're supposed to release them if you're not going to charge them. So the administration may just not want to deal with all those Geneva issues.
But that raises another question, whether this distinction between being a POW or being an illegal combatant might be, as they used to say, a distinction without a difference. Is there a lot of difference between the two?
There's a lot of difference between the two as far as the creature comforts are concerned. I'm sure you've heard that POWs, for example, are entitled to their pay, what illegal combatants certainly are not.
In Swiss francs, I believe.
That's right. And also the Geneva Convention says that if you're going to be put on trial as a POW, it must be through court-martial rules, which would probably mean that you couldn't be tried in a military tribunal. As far as getting information from them, there's not a big difference. POWs are only required to provide name, rank, and serial number, but you can ask them other questions. They just don't have to answer. But for that matter, neither does an illegal combatant have to answer a question. I mean, it's not like you can torture them.
You can't browbeat or torture either.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. NPR's Tom Gelton.